It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. And it is a mailbag actual Monday, Logan. We're recording this on a Monday for once. So we get to use the alliteration.
Yeah, I actually had to kind of do a little pump fake here. Got the schedules worked out. So here we are doing mailbag. And I'm excited for this mailbag. You kind of gave me a little sneak peek. Sometimes you tell me, sometimes you don't. And I like some of these questions. So
would you prefer me to just tell you all the questions? Do you like sometimes being surprised?
Some of them require a little bit of research. Yeah. Some of them do. So I like to make sure I'm a little bit, I've looked at it. I've watched some film. I've looked at some stats, like that kind of stuff. But some of these I think are going to be fun. Like I don't, not just kind of thought experiment level. So
yeah. No, I do try to, the ones that I know you're going to want to do the extra research on, or it's a better answer. I do try to tell you, although there are some times I'm like, I'm going to spring this one on him. I think that'll be more entertaining. That's ultimately what we're here to inform, but also to entertain. All right. This one comes from Jason to get us started, and it comes off the heels of our episode with Mita Kimes, which we hope you enjoyed. Thanks for all the nice comments and, everyone that enjoyed Mina. So, Jason says, I just finished the Mita Kimes episode and I wanted to submit a question. And based on the discussion with Mina on Take Command, I wanted to get your take on something I learned from the roster building. Zach and Bobby are constantly mentioned by what people learn from 2024, but that doesn't tell the story. What I learned from 2024 is how intentional free agent signings can accelerate a roster build. Almost every coach had a veteran free agent brought in who had played for them before. How much do you think this contributed? And Jason did a ton of research and listed off all the different dudes from Dante Fowler and Tyler Biotis who had been with Dan in Dallas on through the position coaches. But, you know, basically every coach that was brought in had someone who wasn't new to them. Anthony Lynn, Austin Eckler, on down the list. So, Logan, I think this is a particularly interesting question philosophically, but also Jason submitted this question for us to talk about either on the radio show or on this show. And I was like, one, we don't really do mailbag sections on the radio show, so definitely Take Command. And two, you were this person in San Francisco in some ways with Kyle Shanahan. So this is definitely a Take Command mailbag question. And that's long setup over. How do you answer this?
Yeah, so I think this is a really good question, and I'm going to kind of attack it two ways. First is kind of with a nihilistic approach, right? So obviously, like, it's important to bring in people that you know, right? It's important to bring in a level of familiarity, especially with guys that are kind of familiar with the scheme, right? Because it really expedites coaching. Like, you can just look to this person as an example of being like, hey, this is how we want to block outside zone, or this is what we do on sift, or this is what we do on split. Like, this is the difference. This is the call. And having that voice in there is really important. However, I think it's also important to understand that all of those free agents that were listed were guys that played well this year, right? And so, like, as much as you want to say, like, the familiarity is something that's important in a culture build, and I 100% think that is true. I think it's good to have, like, archetypes, monoliths of guys at the position, like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz come to mind and be like, this is how pros do it. This is how we do it. This is the expectation, right? That's super important. It works better if those guys play well. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Those guys are good at football. And I think when you look at Bobby, I think the staff had a really good understanding of what he is and what he isn't. And they were able to speak to his strengths. And so not only are you getting a guy that is an example of the culture, and I think we've seen versions of this before, like Thomas Davis coming here and not really playing well, not being able to, and that's not, he's a Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame player. I'm just saying, like, when he got here.
When he got here to Washington at the end, that was not the Hall of Fame portion of his career.
Correct. And so, like, obviously, like, that he didn't help the team. And, like, there's a great familiarity there with Ron and Davis, but that didn't work out. And so I do think it's helpful when you identify a piece that can be this example, that can be this monolith, be selective about your free agent sign, but they also got to be good football players, right? So kind of the second part of this question, like, when I was in San Francisco, like, this was something that I kind of viewed myself as being brought in to do. And maybe if you ask Kyle, he'd say something different. But, like, you know, I kind of felt like I was there to help expedite a cultural identity, right? And when I got there, like, obviously that was what I was trying to do, but things changed. My role changed on the team. My ability to do that changed. And then same thing in Atlanta, right? You come in with a certain expectation and you kind of got to fit the coaching staff and kind of fit the model of, I don't know, fit the model of the team, of the roster. And so I think that's another element too, that's maybe, you know, ignored or undervalued in the question is like they could be brought in to be one thing, but obviously like the roster is the dynamic situation that is constantly changing. So yeah, long story short, I think yes, that these are important things that are really critical to any roster build. And most teams, when you look at free agency, they try to do a version of this with varying levels of success. And so I think when you look at the Commanders, for example, like I was just talking with someone today about Zach Ertz, like he had one of the best seasons I've seen from him in a long time, partially because he's healthy. Like if Zach's dinged up, are we still talking about the free agent class last year in the same breath, in the same light? So I think it's important to understand that, yes, that leadership, the familiarity is important, but they also need to come in and play good football. And I think that doesn't always happen in some of these kind of, you know, familiarity free agent signings.
Yeah, I got a couple of thoughts as well. And just to, you know, click on that at the end, right? The cultural identity and all that kind of stuff. Dante Fowler was brought in to play a certain role, and he wound up playing a much bigger role. Right. And one of the biggest holes in this team was the expanded role that he had to play. Dante obviously had a double-digit sack season, made a ton of big plays, had what I would consider a very good season last year here in Washington. His lack of discipline and just doing the thing he's supposed to do in the run game was an enormous part of their run defense. That is who he has been his entire career. And Dan knew this, but he was the best option they had. And thus he, and despite the familiarity with Dan and Joe Witt and with Daryl Tapp up front, like they couldn't get that right. And it probably didn't help. So it can swing both ways. Like you said, if the role isn't right for the guy, then or he winds up having to do something different because football seasons are dynamic and roster dynamics are dynamic. And it is something totally different. So I think that would be thing one. Anything you wanted to add on that front before I get to my my second thing?
No, I think that kind of that's a perfect encapsulation of what I'm talking about. It's like, yeah, just because you're familiar with the guy doesn't mean he's going to fit with what you need him to do. So making sure you identify what you need this player to be, and then like his role in the team. Like I think if you would have said, hey, you know, Fowler's going to be a designated pass rusher, that's what he's here for, like I think that role would have been much better, right? But things changed, like we just talked about, and my role in San Francisco changed. And I think that's something that is always important to remember with these free agent signings.
So my second thing is more on the positive, like giving credence to this point, which is the longer I'm around this sport and this league specifically, I think just removing things you can trip over is such an enormous element of success. Maybe that's because I feel like that's how you see the game, and you and I, like, you're the person I talk the most football with and the smartest football person that I know, so that I get to talk to on a regular basis at the very least. So you know, that might be you rubbing off on me, but I genuinely think, like, if you can just not trip over your own shoelaces, you can get really far in this league. And the more guys you have that are familiar with the system, the more guys that are familiar with how you want things done, the less you're going to trip over your own shoelaces. Like if you have to teach 53 guys something new, that's a lot harder than teaching 33 guys what to do, especially when the other 20 are specifically designated to help teach the other 33. It makes the student to teacher ratio a lot better. And I also think, generally speaking, across all sports and all structures, I'll say, human structures, leadership is best when layered. And so if you have leaders that are at the coaching staff level saying the same thing at the senior player level, at the junior player level, at the executive level, like, you are just going to get better results because everyone's rowing the boat in the same direction. And that, if you get the right guys, is a good way to ensure that you don't trip over your own shoelaces and get the boat rowing with everybody in the same direction.
Yeah, I think the other thing that kind of is like goes hand in hand with that is obviously you're talking about this, you know, disseminating of information kind of top down, right? But I also think it goes the other way too, right? And I think one of the things about knowing the player is like, so coaching at the high school levels give me a small taste of this. The better you know the kid, the better you can put them in a better position to be successful. And I look at, I think Bobby's a great example of this, like knowing who Bobby is and knowing how they used him last year, they put him in a role where he's not going to be, you know, like on somebody's highlight reel, because they understand what he does well, which is fit the run and command the defense. I'm not going to ask him to do too much really challenging coverage stuff, right? And I think that's important. And that's something that Dan and the staff knew because they have a lot of exposure to him and they've watched a lot of film of him. And they probably have a great communication back and forth between the two parties. So I think that's the other way that's important. And people are always like, man, it, you know, the NFL is such a nepotism-based hiring system, right? But it's important that I know you. I know how you operate. I know what you're good at. I know what you're bad at, and I know what gaps you can fill, and I know what kind of person you are. And I think that's the same thing with, like, you know, when Mina came on, she said, oh, it's friends of Dan or it's friends of Adam. Like, yes, that is true. But if you look around the league, like, that's how smart people do free agency most of the time, right? Because they say, I know Tyler Biadasz. I was with him every day. I know he's going to study. I know he's a good leader. And he might not be a great leader in Dallas, but I think he's ready for a bigger role here in Washington, right? And he was, and he did a great job of that. And I think that's important to acknowledge and understand. And I think, like, we talked about Bobby, we talked about Zach. And I think the other thing here too is, like, they brought Zach in on a one year, $4 million deal, something approximating that last year. And, like, so they're mitigating risk with getting a high return. I think if you're going to pay those people that are coming in just because you know them a lot of money, that's one thing. But even Bobby Wagner didn't get a huge deal, right? It was all kind of measured, and that's good decision making. It's like, there's the value that we just talked about, but we're also mitigating a lot of the risk. So that's where it's saying, like, I don't think anybody expected them, based on the number they were getting, to come in and play as well as they did, because if it was, they'd be getting a lot more money, right? So I think, like, that's the thing that I look at here is, like, yes, you are getting value from knowing the person. You're getting value from those relationships. You're getting value from the leadership. But the thing that was exponentially more valuable in this situation in this year for the Commanders in 2024 was how well those guys played. And they all played better than their contract. And there's nothing better than getting a free agent that exceeds the monetary value that you gave them. And so I think that's something that, again, like, it's this weird circular thing where it's like, yes, it's valuable that you know them, but what is that value? And this team didn't overpay. So the value feels even more acute because of, in addition to the relationship, how well they ended up playing.
Right. Because we knew them, we could put them in the right schematic stuff. We also know what kind of things we need to do to support them. And then the other kind of unrelated thing that popped to mind for me when you talked about some of the bottom up type stuff is that connection between the locker room and the coaching staff,
yeah,
where it all felt like one cohesive unit. And I would guess that there's not a lot of guys on this team that don't feel comfortable going to Dan with something, going to DQ with something if they feel it, because that's the kind of coach that he is. You know, his door is always open, and I genuinely think that that's true. Or as opposed to, like, some coaches might be like, my door is always open. And it's like, yeah, but there's, like, a laser tripwire on that thing, and if I go in there, it's not going to be good for me. That's just not how they do business here. But sometimes you need ears on the ground. And look, they only faced so much adversity last year. They faced some. Like, they had that losing streak in the middle of the year. They had some injuries. There's some stuff that they had to deal with. Obviously, they were down in a ton of games, but, like, ultimately they came through. So there wasn't the type of pressure that a lot of teams feel in a season, in the way that the Bengals felt pressure all season last year because they started slow, right? But if things start to fester at the ground level, and you have ears on the ground in a way that doesn't feel like you're snitching or spying or whatever, but, like, there's genuine relationships, you also prevent stuff from bubbling up and becoming bigger issues. And I feel like when you have the kind of leadership that Zach and Bobby brought and the other guys and the connectivity in that locker room, again, it's just another way to not trip over yourself and make sure that you are unencumbered towards the highest level of success that you can find based off your talent. And I think the Commanders, through the eyes of most people, certainly the two of us, the way it could, you know, I feel comfortable speaking for us here because we've talked about it. They maximized last year. They got the most out of that group. And that's all you can really reasonably ask for within a season if you're a fan or an analyst.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I just wanted to call attention to in regards to this question of, like, you know, things that are undervalued, overvalued when it comes to free agency, I think you want to, like we talk about all the time, you want to get good value in terms of bringing people in that you feel like are going to help you out. But monetarily, you want their value to equal the money you're giving them. And I think one thing that cannot be overstated in terms of the importance of this is Jaden Daniels' addition to this team, right? Like, yeah, that's, I know this is not a free agency thing, but, like, it does kind of, it's the cloud that looms over these free agent decisions from last year. Because in isolation, while those are good decisions, they appear to be significantly better because you have what seems to be a person on the verge of becoming a franchise quarterback, you know? And I think, like, ultimately, like, every team is hunting for that. Every team is looking for that. And you see the impact on Zach Ertz. And people say, oh, well, you know, Zach Ertz had X many catches. He had this many touchdowns. He also, like, because of Jaden Daniels' ability on third down, because of his ability on fourth down, like, gave Zach, gave Terry, gave all these offensive pieces more bites at the apple. And so I think that's something else that makes this difficult. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, New England, you know, when Tom Brady was there.
Yeah.
And, like, they brought in anybody. And you're like, man, this was a great free agent addition by Bill Belichick. And then all of a sudden Tom Brady leaves and every decision just doesn't make any sense anymore. And so that's another thing that if you're trying to learn from this experience, it's always important to put that little asterisk there and say, yes, these are good decisions because the familiarity, because the experience, because the leadership, because of how they cultivated this locker room. But you always have this thing over top of it that is the franchise quarterback potentially, which is Jaden Daniels, which, and every single year, you know, you listen to talk radio, like these are things you have to negotiate. It's like, this is, I think this because of this, but this other factor was always kind of looming and is going to affect this. And I think that's the Jaden Daniels effect, which, you know, makes this year kind of a mulligan in terms of free agency evaluations.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny too. The best thing you can have is a value at quarterback, because you can overpay a little bit here, a little bit there, and right, get a little bit better players here, a little bit better players there. Right. And Brady took discounts in New England forever. Jaden's on a rookie deal. And I actually saw this. This is a crazy stat. The current top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the league on AAV have not won a Super Bowl, with Purdy entering that realm the other day.
It's true, man. And like, you think about, like, even like Jalen Hurts, you know, some of these guys, like, they are like, he was that team was at its best when he was not making a ton of money, right? Patrick Mahomes before he made a ton of money, like Brock Purdy in San Francisco before he made it. Like, there is something to that I think is so, so important to understand. Like, and it's almost, I wonder if like the analytics, and we're kind of diverging from the question here, but I wonder if the analytics community is going to start saying, like, you should just draft a quarterback every 5 years. And so you can keep the roster where it's at, quite honestly. Like, no, if you think the guy's good, great. But I want to make sure that the roster stays really well supported. Now you're kind of entering a
But then you're threading the needle of, like, when does the guy who you is it that was a great young player on a rookie deal fall off a cliff? Like, how much is that guy worth? Yeah. Like, it's just, can you get good dudes on rookie contracts always? Like, that's why the draft is so important. The quarterback can erase so much, because while, you know, on that top 10 list are guys like Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, who have won a ton, and probably, if not for Patrick Mahomes, would have been, you know, Super Bowl champions by now. Obviously, Hurts has now been kicked off that list by AAV, although he signed one of the biggest deals at the time. You know, depending on the other metrics you look at, how he's the best at hiding the cap hit and moving stuff around. So their roster is insane, even though they do have a paid quarterback and they just won the Super Bowl. So it is kind of funny how it winds up coming together. That still, there's no doubt that a great quarterback is the most valuable thing in the sport. But I do wonder, are we kind of reaching the limit of, like, just how valuable those guys are, where teams are going to start to have true stare downs with their franchise quarterbacks and be like, no, I'm not going to pay you $65 million a year. And we'll see. You know, Jaden, the way quarterback salaries are going right now, in 4 years or whatever it is, he's going to be getting like 70 or 80 if the cap keeps rising. But we'll see. That's a conversation. That's a mailbag 3 years from now, Logan.